Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, it's Thursday the 7th of March. Hope you're okay and thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. First up, Rochester teenagers had life-saving surgery after suffering a stroke. Reese Forskett woke up with a headache and then collapsed. Lauren joins me now with more on this story. So Lauren, talk us through what happened.
Well, Reese was at his girlfriend's home in Canterbury when he started feeling unwell last month. She called an ambulance and he was taken to the Kent and Canterbury Hospital where a scan revealed he'd had a stroke. The 18-year-old was then transferred to the Royal London Hospital where surgeons performed a thrombectomy to remove a blood clot. The next day, he needed another operation to remove part of his skull. He was then put in an induced coma for 4 days to help his breathing.
And this must be a really difficult time for Reese's family.
Yes, his mum Annette has told Kent Online she couldn't believe it when she got the call about what had happened. She says it's a real struggle, but they're trying to stay positive for Reese. They're also trying to find out why the stroke happened, as he was previously healthy. But doctors at the moment have no idea. The 18-year-old is likely to have permanent brain damage and is having to learn to walk and talk again. A GoFundMe page set up online has raised more than £5,000. Friends and family are also organising charity events in his honour.
Thanks, Lauren.
Kent Online reports.
A patient in an ambulance has died after a crash on the Thanet Way. Two cars were also involved in the collision on the coastbound stretch of the A299 in Herne Bay last month. Police say a man in his 80s passed away in hospital. A man's appeared in court following a stabbing in Ramsgate. Emergency crews were called to Hurst Grove on Sunday morning and the victim was taken to hospital. A 29-year-old from Margate has been remanded in custody. Three other men and two women who were arrested are now on bail. The Human Rights Watchdog says efforts to tackle violence by police against women and girls require urgent improvement. Last week, an inquiry found Sarah Everard's killer, Wayne Cousins, from Deal, should never have been allowed to serve as an officer. The Equality and Human Rights Commission wants the government to do more to keep people safe. John Kirkpatrick is their deputy chief exec.
In the circumstances where the scale of violence against women and girls by police officers is as great as it is, it seems to us pretty important in terms of public confidence that there should not be police officers who are under suspicion of such violence still wandering around exercising the powers of police officers. We're reporting on the situation as we find it and the evidence that we've seen over the period in which we've been putting this together in recent months. I think there's plenty of evidence that government and indeed police forces themselves are aware that this is a problem and are seeking to take action to deal with it. And we very much welcome such actions being taken. What we would always ask the government to do is look at the evidence we've pulled together, look at our recommendations, take some action on those. Amongst those recommendations is the removal of warrant cards for officers suspected of violence against women and girls. The recommendation that convictions for such violence should automatically constitute gross misconduct. Those seem to us to be a couple of quite important recommendations. And if government took action on those, then I think we'd be making progress.
It comes as the Labour leader's calling for an urgent review of all indecent exposure allegations against serving police officers. Sir Keir Starmer spoke yesterday in the Commons.
3 years ago, Sarah Everard was walking home when she was abducted and murdered by a serving police officer who should have been trusted to keep her safe. Yeah. As a father, I can't imagine the pain her parents, her family and her friends are going through in this difficult anniversary week. Lady Angelina's report exposes the appalling failure in police vetting and in misconduct processes, and I'm very troubled by its conclusion that there is, and I'm going to quote it, nothing to stop another Cousins operating in plain sight. Yeah. How can that be the case 3 years on from this horrendous crime?
Yeah. This was Rishi Sunak's response.
Mr. Speaker, can I firstly say that I'm sure all members of the House will have been thinking about Sarah Everard in recent weeks. It was, as the Honourable Gentleman said, an absolutely shocking case, and the abuse of power in particular, was appalling. That's why we took action quickly, Mr. Speaker, to strengthen police vetting, strengthen the rules for rooting out officers who are not fit to serve, and conducted the largest ever screening of all serving officers and staff. We're now ensuring that any officer who has been charged for a crime will be suspended from duty automatically until their case is concluded, and we will thoroughly consider all of the report's recommendations and respond in full.
Kent Online News.
A man who fractured a doorman's cheekbone in a racist attack at a hotel in Folkestone has avoided prison. Ben Crawford lashed out when staff refused to let him back into the Park Inn because he was drunk. The 32-year-old from St Luke's Walk in Hawkinge has been given a suspended sentence and ordered to do 250 hours of unpaid work. NHS bosses are concerned building 170 new homes next to a development in Ashford could overwhelm GP services. Plans have been put forward for a 15-acre site between the large Burton project and Conningbrook Lake housing estate. It's feared Y Surgery won't be able to cope with the rise in patients. An independent inquiry is underway into the deaths of at least 27 people in the Channel. They lost their lives attempting to cross from France to Kent in a small boat in November 2021. A recent Maritime Accident Investigation Branch report highlighted several shortcomings that hindered the search and rescue operation. The inquiry is being led by Sir Ross Cranston.
I'm required to consider what lessons can be learned and whether recommendations ought to be made to reduce the risk of a similar event happening again.
Vandals have trashed a cafe in Ashford before stealing cash from the till and taking goods from the storeroom. Footage at Kent Online shows the damage to the gorge in Lower High Street. The break-in happened overnight on Monday. £30,000 and cannabis has been found in shoeboxes at a house on Sheppey. The property in Minster was searched after officers were called to reports of antisocial behaviour in Sittingbourne and arrested a 22-year-old. He's been released on bail until June. Now, the head of a Kent Academy Trust insists schools are doing everything they can to improve attendance among pupils. It's after the government announced fines for parents who take their children out of school will increase from £60 to £80 in September. Around 400,000 penalty notices for unauthorised absences were issued in England last year. 9 in 10 of those were for holidays. Gary Ratcliffe is the CEO of the Golden Thread Alliance, which has schools in Dartford and Gravesham. He's been speaking to reporter Alex Langridge.
We have found that attendance has really been a struggle to return to pre-COVID levels. And nationally, as well as in our schools, it's followed a very similar pattern of higher attendance towards 96% before COVID. And then that dropped dramatically, obviously, over COVID. And it's been really difficult to return to pre-COVID levels. So nationally, attendance is sitting well below that at the moment. And equally, we're trying to return to those pre-COVID levels too. And it is a challenge. So yes, I think it is something that we're seeing right across the sector, whether that's primary, special or secondary schools. It is getting better this year, but still we're not quite at where we were before COVID.
Why do you think that is? Is it just because people got used to kind of not coming to school or just kind of that disruption, I guess, for the last few years?
I think there are a number of reasons why attendance has not regained its pre-COVID levels. One, to do with unauthorised holiday taking. So parents are more likely to be taking holidays in term time. And I think that's for two reasons. One, because parents have started to reevaluate a little bit around their own priorities in terms of them thinking about what is important to them. So family time has become more important since COVID, and so parents are more likely to take their children out of school during term time. I think the second reason is because of the cost of living, and we know that there is a real crisis in terms of cost of living now, and holidays are not seen as a luxury, but as an entitlement or something that a family really needs. And so the only way that many families can actually get a holiday is to take them in term time, where a week or 2 weeks in the sun could be thousands of pounds cheaper compared to the fines that parents get, which are starting at £60 per pupil per parent. So that is another reason. And I think the third reason is there has been a real shift in parents' attitudes and respect to what actually happens in schools. And I think for some parents, they're not quite aware of the significant impact that a child missing a week or 2 weeks of education could have on their overall learning experience.
So obviously, as you say, you have seen a trend. So what are schools doing to kind of regain this attendance and kind of encourage parents and students, I guess, to come back to school and, you know, enjoy school while they're there and take full advantage of it as well?
Well, I think there are a number of things that schools are doing in order to improve attendance. The first thing to say is the Department for Education has launched their own attendance promotion strategy. So there is an attendance toolkit that all schools can download and use within their own settings. And then for individual schools and multi-academy trusts, each different organisation will have their own priorities around attendance, whether that is opening more breakfast clubs or having competitions or using incentives or issuing more fines or just really making attendance a higher priority within the school. So I saw over the weekend, for example, that one of my schools in Dartford, they issued a letter to all parents over the weekend online to say the impact that having 1, 2, or 3 days off has on a child's learning. So I think it is at the top of the agenda for many head teachers and senior leaders and teachers within our schools.
Kent Online reports.
There are fears businesses in part of North Kent will suffer after it was confirmed a nearby ferry service will end this month. The company running the Gravesend to Tilbury route have confirmed they won't be renewing their contract due to funding concerns. Shop owners have described it as a huge blow and say it'll lead to a fall in trade. Firefighters have spent nearly 9 hours tackling a blaze at an industrial estate in Maidstone. A large amount of rubbish caught alight near Detling Hill just after midnight. Crews have now put out the flames. It's unclear how it started. Controversial plans to bring in charges at free car parks on Sheppey have been scrapped. Council bosses wanted to introduce payments at the Little Oyster site in Minster, as well as the library and Park Road in Queenborough, to raise much-needed revenue. Hundreds of business owners, residents and tourists started a campaign against the proposals. A decision was made at a meeting last night. Our reporter Joe Crossley spoke to Marilyn Ward, who's the cook at the Little Oyster Tea Room. She says it feels good to have won the battle.
It's really not about the cafe, it's about the community. Everything I said in there, all those people, the dog walkers, the runners, the beach memorial bench owners, the hut owners, they can now do it freely and just park up in the car park for free.
I know you said it wasn't about your cafe, but tell me a little bit about what it means for you guys in that cafe.
Listen, for the first time in 28 years, I kept the cafe open all winter. That usually gets closed. But I have so many elderly that come in there just for a cup of tea. They stay for 2 or 3 hours. I just top the hot water up. They haven't got the money. They chat, they've made friends, they all come in. And they said they won't be able to do it with the parking charges. £1.40 an hour. It's £1.40 for a cup of tea. So now those charges are not going to be made.
Councillors did vote to increase existing parking charges elsewhere on Sheppey and in Sittingbourne and Faversham.
Kent Online News.
New figures show more XL bully dogs were stolen in Kent than anywhere else outside of London. 37 were taken in the county last year, making them the third most popular breed targeted by thieves in the UK. It's thought a ban on being able to sell the dogs could increase the problem. A family-run garage in Whitstable is set to close after more than half a century. BD Motors on Essex Street will shut at the end of the month and the site could be used for housing. The business started in 1971, but the lease isn't being renewed. The 82-year-old who runs it says he's looking forward to retiring. Now, we've been hearing how a charity that started in Kent is now helping disadvantaged people across the country. The Street Soccer Foundation launched 8 years ago, with football being used to tackle homelessness. A new report revealed 18 national academies were delivered in 2023, with more asylum seekers than before taking part. Nicola's been chatting to CEO Keith Mabbott.
We look at ultimately the cost of the delivery of the programme versus the outcomes that we're achieving for the young people. So a really basic example is, you know, a young person that now secures part-time, full-time job on the back of graduating the programme. And so now they're not claiming unemployment benefits. And so there's a cost to state that's now been saved. So we look at those measurements and then we sort of recalculate it back into giving us a kind of ratio. So for every £1 invested into the national programme, we're now generating £17 as a social value return on investment.
Which is fantastic figures. It must be really heartwarming for you to get that report on your desk, read it and think, do you know what, we are actually making a real impact here.
I'm really proud of it for the fact that it's been gradually ever increasing over the years. I mean, you know very much so because you've been such a wonderful supporter of ours that we've been going now for 8 years, can you believe? And, you know, I think every year we're making iterations to the programme responsive to the feedback we get. So we're massive on collaboration. We're very much partnership led as an organisation. The clubs that we work with across the country, these are club community organisations. So they're very versed in terms of supporting their community. But when we create this programme, it's one in which we're fusing that feedback to create almost like a best version, best practice offer. And certainly kind of post-pandemic, dare I say, you know, we know the vulnerability around many young people now. So we're trying to kind of tailor the provision depending on the community. And so, yes, it's the National Street Soccer Academy, but actually the way that's delivered can be different and will vary depending on the young people, from i.e. where they're from, where they're based, where they've actually come from. They might be new into the country as well. And we've seen that as well. There's been an increment in terms of refugees and asylum seekers that we've supported through the programme as well. But I think generally speaking, you can imagine it, you know, for the benefit of the listeners, that, you know, people in Bournemouth are very different in terms of those that are in East London with the West Ham programme, and maybe in Leicestershire or Sunderland, you know, so all over the place. Obviously here in Kent, our home county, you know, these young people, their kind of postcode territories, that the, you know, their characteristics, things that they've got going on, it will all vary in part. Naturally, there's a lot of similarity, which is why the programme is positioned in such a way. But yeah, to see the numbers, I mean, that's purely come out of outputs from what the programme's achieving for these young lives that are giving it a chance. So, of course, I'm really, really proud.
Have you found that since the pandemic, the word that you mentioned earlier, that some of the needs of those young people have changed?
What we've certainly seen an increment is isolation in young people sometimes. Wholly respectfully, sometimes as well, obesity. So weight issues, I should say. And a detachment generally from society and a belief in themselves for opportunities that are there for them. And if I may, they're not sweeping statements, but that's generally from what we pulled in from speaking with the young people and what we see and learn and hear about. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, in terms of each year, we're kind of recreating the programme iteration after iteration, is to fulfil that need. Because I can certainly say now, you know, the 2023-4 version of the Street Soccer Academy is very different to the 2015 Street Soccer Academy. And that's because we move with the times, right? And obviously a lot of people now are online as well. There's a digital age aspect to this as well. So again, we're trying to cater for that. And for example, you know, we're now talking with Game, you know, the national retailer, in terms of a gaming offer as well. So not just a physical sport, but a way and a means to engage young people through gaming. So there's all different angles that we try and approach in sensitive ways around those that we're looking to support. But that's, I guess, the key metric, that young people, they're empowered to have a voice. We've even created a youth council as a wraparound to the academy to feed into aspects and ways of how to deliver the programme to achieve best impact.
Kent Online reports.
£4 million of funding could be reallocated to the Winter Gardens in Margate as bosses look at bringing it back into use. The cash was originally allocated to Dreamland but was turned down. Now councillors will decide next week whether to use it to help find a new operator for the Winter Gardens, which closed in August 2022. Work started on transforming an old cinema in Tenterden into flats. The building on the high street was most recently an M & Co store. It's being turned into 7 properties on the top 2 floors, with smaller shops downstairs. Children across Kent have been dressing up for World Book Day. Schools are celebrating the annual event aimed at encouraging more youngsters to get into reading. Authors will also be going in to speak to some pupils, including Karen Greaves from Rochester.
I find it very gratifying when, having read extracts from the books, the children come and say, oh, where can we get that book? I mean, I do always sell them at the schools as well. But I don't think that reading is dead. No, I think, you know, it's kind of like the barometer effect, isn't it, that you get with everything. Things swing from one way to another. But as far as I'm aware, and from studies that I've read, children and adults are coming back to reading. And I think that's great. And I have noticed, again, in a few schools that I've been to, they've got book vending machines, which I think is a fantastic way of encouraging children to read, because, you know, in the vending machine, instead of being, you know, your Coca-Cola and your crisps, which aren't good for you, they've got books instead, which are feeding their brains.
McDonald's are also giving out free Mr. Men books to children to mark the occasion. And finally, Harry Hill and Vic Reeves have been spotted filming at Folkestone Harbour Arm. They were pictured along with production crews yesterday afternoon. We're not sure yet what they're working on. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.